This is Radio Boston. I'm Kimberly Atkins. Columbia Gas of Massachusetts is getting new leadership. The utility's pipeline started more than 100 fires and explosions in the Merrimack Valley last fall, killing one person and injuring two dozen more. The preliminary findings of a federal investigation show the faulty pipework of one of their engineers caused their lines to overpressurize. The company has since replaced hundreds of miles of affected pipes and paid millions of dollars in claims in an effort to restore the damage. Against that backdrop, Columbia Gas of Massachusetts President Steve Bryant in February announced he'd be retiring. Mark Kempick, the company's chief operating officer, will officially take over as Columbia Gas's president tomorrow. When we spoke earlier today, Kempick outlined his vision for the company.
I have been up working here locally in Massachusetts since the end of September. I've previously been with various subsidiaries of Columbia Gas since literally 1979. But I came up here in September to help out with the recovery and the restoration. On a going forward basis, our number one goal is to work with our customers, work with the communities to regain that trust in our service, in our employees, in the provision of our service safely and reliably to the communities all throughout Massachusetts. So my goal and my team's goal is to work with our communities to rebuild that trust.
So winter is over. On the ground there in the Merrimack Valley, what efforts are currently underway?
Sure. Thank you for that. In fact, you'll probably be seeing a lot of our vehicles on the road and the vehicles of our contractors as we work towards restoring the private property soft surfaces. What we mean by soft surfaces is the grass, sometimes retaining walls, all those elements on a customer's properties that had to be disturbed last fall to put in the brand new pipelines and the safety features to provide them with gas service. So we repaired it slightly last fall. We put in some grass seed, but we're doing the really final job now by reseeding, regrading, putting more topsoil on, maybe even putting plants in, maybe even fixing some concrete driveways or some retaining walls. And we're in the middle of doing all of that right now. In addition, we have kicked off our heating equipment replacement program. So you'll see a lot of contractors out there putting in some heating equipment for our customers. As you might recall, last fall we were up against the cold weather coming in, so we decided to safely repair a number of heating units, about 900 heating units last fall, and then we made a commitment at that time to go back and replace those heating units with brand new high-efficiency heating units. So we're in the process of doing that right now, so we will be calling our customers and scheduling appointments so that we will come in and advise them of their options in terms of heating equipment replacement units, and then coming back and scheduling at their convenience when we can put that heating unit into their home.
Are you confident that you'll be able to complete that before next winter?
Yes, we've already made a lot of progress. Every day we're calling more and more customers. We have all summer long to do this, and we have really put the team in full gear over the past couple of weeks. So they are out in full force in all three of our communities replacing those remaining heating units. So we are very confident that we will get that done.
Okay. So according to the company, about 97% of registered claims have been paid out for a total of about $100 million. Financial reports indicate the disaster has cost Columbia Gas more than $1 billion. How does the company plan to cover those costs?
Sure. Thank you for that question. And one of the benefits of being part of a larger organization is that we had the financial wherewithal, as well as the employees from six other states, to come up and help us with the recovery effort. We have insurance to cover a lot of these costs, and so we are reaching out to the insurers or working with the insurers now to cover a lot of these costs so that the customers don't have to be worried about those costs.
And can the customers expect a rate hike to help cover those costs?
Right now, our goal is restoring everything with our customers and going to the insurers first. Until we go to the insurers, we're not even thinking about going to the customers for any type of rate recovery. But our goal is, number one, to get everybody back in these heating units replaced this year and get all the restoration done, then work at the same time with the insurance companies for recovery. And that's really our focus for this summer.
So can you rule out a rate cut, a rate hike, rather, in 2019 or through 2020?
It's just frankly too early. We haven't gone down that path to determine any type of rate recovery. We don't know until we go to the insurers, which is our first line of investigation. And we're working with those insurers right now on all of these costs. To add to that, I would add that many of the costs that we've invested in we'd never ask the customers to pay for those costs, such as the cost of the appliances and a lot of the other costs with the housing that we provided to customers. Those are just things that are not recovered from the customers of a regulated utility. So there's no fear that we'd be going to ask customers for the majority of those costs.
Okay, I want to talk about the claims processing. Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera has been publicly critical about that processing, that it is too slow, and accusing Columbia Gas of grinding your feet. Also, Congressman Seth Moulton told me that Columbia Gas has been out to lunch since the explosions. Is that claims process too slow?
I would say no. I mean, like any process, it's a required process. We do ask for documentation to ensure that everybody is being treated fairly. And we have worked successfully through over 23,000 claims. Each one of those claims is different. And we have claims adjusters who get to know the customer and who work with the customer to identify their specific needs and to address those specific needs. Now, sometimes we get into very difficult claims, and we've actually had to hire forensic accountants to help the customer put their claim together because they might not have had the paperwork in existence to demonstrate what they needed to do to give to us to be able to compensate them appropriately. Mm-hmm. So that takes some time when we hire the forensic accountant and provide it to the customer. And that's really what we've been working through. But overall, at this 6.5 month time period, processing over 97% of the claims and paying out well over $100 million, I'm actually very, very proud of our team and the work that they have done.
On the federal level in Washington, Senator Ed Markey and Senator Elizabeth Warren, along with Congresswoman Lori Trahan, are introducing legislation to boost penalties for safety violations, require on-site pressure monitoring during construction, and mandate professional engineers to oversee pipeline projects. Do you back that legislation?
So we have already done many of the things identified in the legislation, and we will continue to do those. One of the key elements of the legislation is what they call a safety management system, and we are really leading the state and leading, frankly, the industry in our adoption of a safety management system. We have adopted that even prior to last year, and we will continue to move forward with the safety management system, which is really, frankly, the best way of perpetuating a good safety culture and making sure that all of our companies can provide a safe and reliable service that the customers deserve.
So does that mean you support the legislation, or you think it's unnecessary because of the steps you're taking?
You know, it's hard to really get into a line-by-line element of the legislation. I know that there's a lot of comments being done by various members of the industry, and we are in the process of working with the parties to that legislation. So, as I said, there are a lot of elements that we fully support, and we're working with the principals on some changes to other parts of the legislation. So a lot more work has to be done, but we are fully engaged in the conversation, and we are fully supportive of the notion of moving a safety management system forward, as well as moving a lot of the provisions of that legislation forward.
Okay. I want to talk about 2 weeks ago, Columbia Gas notified Monson Police of a possible overpressurization of gas lines. Do you think that was handled well?
Yes, that element is still, frankly, under investigation, so we can't go into a lot of the reasons for the cause of that because it's still a confidential investigation. However, the system worked as designed and prevented any impact to customers downstream. So it was a much, much different situation than what happened in Lawrence. We had a lot of safety measures installed in that system, such as individualized pressure regulation at each customer's homes, as well as a newer system that was tested for higher pressures. And it did operate, frankly, a normal operating pressure at a higher pressure. So safety systems that were built into that relatively new system weren't built into some of our other systems because they were older systems. And so one of our goals across the state is to continue to advance the replacement of our aging infrastructure so that everyone across the entire state has new high-density polyethylene plastic pipe, as well as individualized safety regulators at their front door, as well as what we call excess flow valves to prevent against the release of gas if somebody were to unfortunately dig into their service line. So that's our goal, is to continue to get move forward to the future and to put in the state-of-the-art new gas distribution system throughout the remainder of Massachusetts.
And in the short time we have left, you started talking about regaining the trust of the residents of the Merrimack Valley. I know WBUR, an information request, turned up five other times since 2011 that there had been reported pressure spikes. As I said, I spoke with Congressman Seth Moulton. He said that he believes that Columbia Gas should be shut down, that it can't regain the trust of the residents. What do you say to him and the folks living in that region right now?
So my focus is really looking forward and engaging with the communities, engaging with our elected officials, and demonstrating that we have been here for 150 years. We will be here for the future. We will be able to regain the trust of all of our customers, the elected officials, and the communities. And that's really my goal, is to prove that we can and we will and we have been continuing to provide that safe and reliable service.
That's Mark Kempick, incoming president and chief operating officer for Columbia Gas of Massachusetts. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kimberly. I appreciate your interest in Columbia Gas. Thank you.